Matthew chapter 5 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 999, beginning with the 13th verse. We will read responsibly through the 18th. You will take note, please, of the 17th verse, which is the text verse. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. We'll read the verses responsibly. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And let's pray. Father, what a delightful day this is. And what a wonderful privilege is ours to be here in this place of places. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the message of hope and blessing that goes from this place each and every Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And thank you for that which we're about to hear. We pray for your blessing upon the preaching and tender our hearts now toward that which we hear. May we be quick to do that which we hear, and help us, we pray, this good day and our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
That's wonderful. I want to speak this morning on the subject, a destroyer or a fulfiller. A destroyer or a fulfiller. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy, but to fulfill. There are more important messages than I shall preach in this room, but there are not messages and truths more needed by God's people than the one I'm going to present to you this morning. I believe that every time a Christian comes to church and the man of God stands to speak, I believe every eye ought to be focused on the man of God. I think every mind ought to be saying, teach me, O God, through thy man and thy servant today, a truth. This morning, a destroyer or a fulfiller. Holy Father, I believe that I'm about to say what is supposed to be said at this hour, at this place. I believe that what I'm going to say this morning is your will and your message to these people. But I cannot deliver it adequately without your help, and I cannot help the people without their attention. So I ask you to help me, and I ask you to help the people to hear me, that we may hear you and your word and your truth. Amen. When Jesus came into the world to establish a perfect religion, he found on earth an imperfect one already here. He could do one of two things. He could either destroy the old imperfect religion, are you listening, that he found on earth, and sweep it away completely. Or, he could take the imperfect religion that he found when he came and build on it and complete it. In other words, he could either destroy the imperfect religion on earth when he came, or he can use it as far as it goes and fulfill it. Which will he do? Will he take the imperfect religion, destroy it, or will he use it and build on it and fulfill it? The answer is this in our text. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I wish every Christian alive could make that statement. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Anybody can destroy, but nobody who's right with God will seek to destroy. For when you seek to destroy another, you also destroy yourself. Jesus Christ said, I am not come to destroy. I am not come to destroy. I am not come to destroy. I am come to fulfill. Here's what he did. Now follow me carefully. He took what was right of the old Judaism and fulfilled it. For example, he did not destroy the Passover. He said, you don't need it anymore because I am the Passover. He didn't have to call himself the Passover, but he did. He's saying, I'm building on that which was already here. He did not destroy the priesthood. He explained the truth of the priesthood and said that all of us who are saved are kings and priests of God. He did not destroy the Sabbaths. He did away with them. But he said the Sabbath was necessary that it may show the rest that you have when you're born again and you cease from your own labors to save yourself. When you say, my good works cannot save me. My baptism cannot save me. My communion cannot save me. I am relying on the Savior to save me. He said, I've come to become your Sabbath and your rest. Jesus was not a destroyer. He was a fulfiller. He took that which was good and built that which is good about imperfection. And built on the good of imperfection and built it to perfection. Let me take a few little personal illustrations to show you what I mean. Years ago, how many? 15, 20? I don't know. 20 years ago, I guess. Maybe 15. I was out in Los Angeles, California, preaching at Founders Week for Biola College. That's the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, Biola. I was out there for Founders Week. I stayed right across the street from Knott's Berry Farm and in a motel there. Down the street, there was a little restaurant. I think it was a waffle shop. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. After the service, by the way, I spoke on Sunday night and then every night in different locations and then, of course, in the headquarters meeting there at Biola College. And on Sunday night, I decided after the service, no, it was on Monday night. I didn't speak on Sunday night. I think it was Monday night. I know it was Monday night because I don't eat in restaurants on Sunday. I almost got caught there for a second. But it was Monday night. I went down after the service and to the little, I think it's a pancake house or something. Anyway, it's a little restaurant. I walked in. I sat there at the little area where you sit on a stool and eat there at a little bar place. And I was eating a bite, and I overheard some conversation back here, and I heard a fellow say, well, praise God. Well, that arrested my attention. You don't usually hear that in pancake houses. Usually you hear that in Howard Johnson's. But McDonald's. But I, hey, we're praying. So I turn around, and there's a crowd of long-haired guys over there. Must have been a dozen of them, long-haired guys. And every one of them had a Bible. I don't mean they had hair over their ears. They had hair over their hips almost. I mean, it was just all way down. And beards. I looked like a bunch of hippies having a convention. And they all had Bibles. And they're praising God. So I walked over and I said, let me tell you long-haired freaks a few things. No, that's not what I said. No, that's what I wanted to say. But that's not what I said. Why? Because they had Bibles. I must not destroy, I must fulfill. And I said, are you fellows saved? I gather they're fellows. Are you fellows saved? And one of them said, bless God, praise the Lord. And I said, me too. You mind if I eat with you?
I sit down, all these long-haired Jesus freaks there, you know, and this short-haired Jesus freak, bald-headed Jesus freak, and I sat around with them, and they were saved. I think they were saved. And they said, what are you doing out here this week? And I said, I'm preaching. They said, where? I said, I go to San Diego one night, and I go up to the town one night, and I go to First Baptist Church, Long Beach one night, and they said, can we go with you? Oh, brother. Can they go with me? Oh, boy. And I said, well, I don't have a car. And they said, oh, we got a big van. All of us, we'll drive you. We'll drive you. And I said, why, you sorry imitations of Christians. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No. No. I said, sure. Sure. Those days, Dr. Tim LaHaye was pastor in San Diego, and you asked for certain speakers. He had asked for me. And I drove down and preached there. Dr. LaHaye at the, I forgot the name of the church, but anyway, at the church there in San Diego. And the folks were out in the front waiting to greet me. And here we drove up. I mean, the Hiles entourage, we drove up. Dr. LaHaye came out. I got out of the van. He looked at me, looked at my associates. And I said, Dr. LaHaye, I want you to meet a bunch of dirty backsliders. No, no, I didn't say that. No. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy, I've come to fulfill. Here's some fellows who are saved. They've not had the teaching I've had. They've not had the teaching I give. But they're saved. And I said, Dr. Clay, I want you to meet some friends of mine. And I told the story. I said, I was eating in a restaurant last night. And these fellows were over there, and they're praising God, and they had their Bibles. And we had a big time together, ate about together. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday nights, everywhere I went, they drove me. They shattered me. We became good friends. Now, wait a minute. We had a good time. Now, their hair was longer than mine. Well, their hair was more existent than mine. But they did not look like First Baptist Church of Hammond people. Well, like a few of you. But, I saw something there to build on. I could have destroyed, or I could have fulfilled. And so we fellowshiped. Friday night, after we got back, I was almost glad to see it end. After we got back, though, they gathered around me, and they began to sing, God be with you till we meet again. And then we joined hands and sang, blessed be the tie that binds our... And we sang together. And one of them said to me, Dr. Hiles, if you'll come out here and start a church, we'll help you. I said, man, I can't. They said, look, Los Angeles needs somebody like you. I didn't tell them they didn't need anybody like them. But one of them said, Dr. Hiles, now hear this, this. He said, Dr. Hiles, if you'll come back out here and start a church, we'll all get a haircut. And they cried, and I cried, and we said goodbye. I went to Los Angeles 6 months later to preach in a meeting. Sitting over here on my right, down at the front, crowd of the finest looking young folks you ever saw in your life. Clean cut. Walked up after the service, one of them said, hey, welcome back. I said, back to what? Don't you know us? Of course I don't know you. Why, he said, we drove you around while you were out here at Bowler. No! They said, look. They were so proud. We're destroyers. I mean, boy, we take somebody that doesn't dot if an I, and by the way, you know what I think about long hair on men. You know it's unscriptural. I haven't got any use for it at all. But
you got to take people where they are,
and you got to look at people and realize that there is some good, and you can build on that good. Now, nobody has stronger convictions than I have. Nobody has more standards than I have. Nobody's against more things than I am. But what I preach as principle and truth, I believe with all of my heart, but I understand everybody in this room this morning does not practice all I preach. But I'm going to take from each of you what there is that on which I can build and do the best I can to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. I haven't told this story in years and years and years. I was out here, Maxine Jeffries, and the deaf work back in the early days. A lady came, and Maxine, you remember this story. I've forgotten her name, but she was a very well-to-do lady, graying, and she was deaf. She was probably, I imagine she was 65, 70 years old, but she looks younger than that. But she was deaf. She came to our services, and the next week I got a visitor's card, didn't know she was deaf, just saw the visitor's card, went out to see her. Lived out just off of 175th Street, south of 175th, on Bercher, Beecher, or one of those streets out there, Chestnut, and knocked on the door. A young lady came to the door, a young married lady. I said, "My name is Jack Hiles. I'm pastor of First Baptist Church. Is Mrs. So-and-so at home?" She said, "She's my mother." And I said, "But she came to church last Sunday." "Yes," she said, "I know." And she said, "Before you go any further, I must tell you that we have no interest at all in your church or your religion." She said, "My mother came only because she's deaf and she wanted to be with other folks who are deaf. But we are Jewish by faith and we have no interest at all. We want you to know now we're Jewish by faith and we're not interested in changing." And I said, "No problem there. I'm half Jew myself." I could have said, "Jew? Don't even believe Jesus. Jew, I could have destroyed it." "No, Jesus came not to destroy but to fulfill." And I said, "I'm half Jew myself." She said, "You don't look like it." Well, I said, "I'm sorry, but she said, "You don't talk like it." Well, I said, "I got an older brother who's full-blooded Jew." She said, "Let's get this straight. You are half Jew and got an old brother that's full-blooded Jew." I said, "Yes, ma'am, and any day now, I'm going to become full-blooded Jew too." She said, "I don't understand this." I said, "Would you like to?" She said, "I sure would." I said, "May I come in?" I did. I walked in. I told her that when I got born again as a little boy, almost 11 years of age, that I became a younger brother of Jesus Christ, and I was adopted into God's family, and spiritually, I'm a Jew. And I showed her how that Jesus, my older brother, my elder brother, that the Bible calls him, it was a Jew born in Bethlehem, was a Jew. And I told her about the day when the trumpet would sound and the dead would rise and the living should be caught up, meet the Lord in the air, and I should be like him and I'll be a full-blooded Jew. And she said, "Ah." And you know, in less than 15 minutes, she had an older brother that is full-blooded Jew too. And she was born again, and the next Sunday morning she walked the aisle in the old auditorium over here that burned. Now, why? Because I did not knock on her door to destroy. I knocked on her door to fulfill. Let me illustrate again. I went down here to 249 Douglas Street years ago. Family named Hicks or Hill. I've forgotten which the name was. Hicks or Hill. And round the back, upstairs apartment, somebody here was with me. I don't know whether the person's still in the church or not. But I was out soul winning. And it was nighttime. Went around back, up the stairs, upstairs, back apartment, knocked on the door, fella, big tall fella came to the door, had on pair of trousers, barefoot, and an undershirt, and he came to the door. And I said, "How do you do, Mr. I'll call him Hill. How do you do, Mr. Hill?" Is it Hicks or Hill? He said, "Fine." I said, "I'm Pastor House, First Baptist Church, across down the corner over there." "Why?" He said, "Come on in, Reverend." I walked in, his wife had her house coat on, hair rolled up, and looked like a clothing store covered by a hardware store, and had a bunch of little kids. I've forgotten how many. I think about five little kids, all of them little bitty kids. I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 up there. I said, and the door went into the kitchen, so I sat around the kitchen table. That back door, you know, kitchen was first, and the living room on the front. So sat around the kitchen table. I said, Mr. Hill, I've come to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?" "Oh yes. I've been a Christian all my life." The wife became a Christian when she was 3 years old in the Catholic Church. Oh, boy. I wanted to say, "You can't become a Christian all your life. The Pope, I don't care if the Pope said your wife was saved just 3. That's heresy. Jesus came not to destroy, but to fulfill." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this. Do you know you've been born again?" See, I was trying to get Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I couldn't get there because I couldn't get them unsaved, though I knew they weren't saved. Nobody had been saved all his life, and nobody ever got saved when 3 years old in the Catholic Church. I said, "Okay, are you born again?" "Yeah, I've been born again all my life." "Wife was born again, she's 3 years old in the Catholic Church." I said, "Have you been regenerated?" "Yes." Been regenerated all my life. Wife was regenerated just 3 years old in the Catholic Church. I said, okay, since you're such wonderful Christians, can I teach you a course on prayer? I was going to teach them the first verse on that course on prayer is what? Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. I was going to tell them the same thing. I was going to tell them anyway. He said, don't need it. We're taking a course from Moody Bible Institute right now, a correspondence course, and the subject is prayer. Oh, brother. Romans 3:10 was miles and miles away. I said, could I give you a little Bible study, a lesson on how to study the Bible? I was going to start off with what? Romans 3:10. He said, don't need it. I just got to tell you we're taking correspondence course with the Bible Institute. Are you sure you've been born again? Yes, sir. Born again all my life. Wife born again. She's 3 years old in the Catholic Church. I wanted to destroy. I wanted to take an axe and chop it down. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy. I've come to fulfill. I said, okay. I said, you got such a good Christian home here. What you need to do is have a formal dedication service for your home. Boy, his antenna flew up. I mean, the old Catholic antenna. It just wound right up like that. And he said, could you come back sometime and bring a copy of that formal service with you? Well, I should have just happened to have a copy of it with you right now. Starts off with what? Romans 3:10. And just happened to have it. Oh, he said, would you do it now? Well, I said, if you insist, I'll do it now. He said, would you wait here? He went in the bedroom. He put a suit and tie and shoes. His wife went in. She took that stuff out of her hair and combed her hair out. She got on a nice dress, put some hose on and shoes. The kids went in, and every kid was ready for bed, and every kid was dressed up like he's going to church on a Sunday morning. And they came in all ready to have this formal dedication service. You talk about a helpless feeling. I never had one of those things in my life before. I knew what a formal dedication service was. But I had to get to where? Romans 3:10. And I said, sir, we come. Boy, I mean, I did everything but rub a, count beads and rub the crucifix. I said, we come this evening to have the formal dedication service of this home. I said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We are here gathered together. And he wiped a tear. She wiped a tear. Kids saw mom and dad crying. They cried too. I tried to wipe a tear. I said, now, in this formal dedication service, there are some scriptures we always read. And the first one is Romans 3:10. And the second one is Romans 3:23. And the third is Romans. That's where I was going a while ago anyway. Romans 6:23. And the fourth is Romans 5:12. And the fifth is Romans 5:8. And the sixth is Romans 10:9 through 13. I read those scriptures. Then I said, now then, I told him, I said, in this dedication service, there's always a story. Man is a sinner. Man is lost because he is a sinner and on his way to hell. Jesus became the virgin-born Son of God, lived a perfect life, went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, rose again for our justification after 72 hours. And anybody that received him by faith, trust him as Savior, then Lord, our Savior, can be saved. I said, now let's have dedicatory prayer for the home. I said, Mr. Hill, would you pray first? He said, do you have a copy of the prayer? I said, yes, I do. I said, bow your heads. This is the prayer. Dear Lord, dear Lord. He went down like this, did this as he went down, and knelt like this. He said, dear Lord. I said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. A sinner. And save my soul. And save my soul. I do now receive Jesus. I do now receive Jesus. As my Savior, as my Savior. And trust Him to take me to heaven. Trust Him to take me to heaven when I die. Not the church. Not the confirmation. Not the sacraments. Not the priest or pope. But just Jesus. He prayed that whole dedicatory prayer. His wife prayed it. All the kids prayed it. After he got through, I said, Mr. Hill, when did you say you were saved? He said, I've been saved all my life, and he said, I just got saved a few minutes ago. That's when I got saved. And his wife said, I did too. They walked the aisle the next Sunday morning in First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Why? Jesus came not to destroy. Now, don't misunderstand me. You know I preach against heresy. But when it comes to practical working with individuals, it is not my job to destroy them. It is my job to take what I can that they have and build on it and point them to Jesus Christ. This is what Philip did in Acts chapter 8. He saw this man reading Isaiah 53. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he got up in the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. This is what Peter did in the house of Cornelius. I'll say more about that tonight. What Peter did in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man. He prayed always, but he wasn't saved. Peter came and took what he was doing in his praying and pointed to Jesus Christ. This is what Paul did in the synagogues when he came and taught the Old Testament, but he said, you don't go far enough. He said, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Dear friend, at Mass, let me tell you what that really means. Jesus suffered on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins. He is your Mass. Dear friend, at confession, confessing your sin to a priest, let me take you farther than that. Why don't you go all the way to the high priest and confess your sins to him? Jesus is the high priest. Dear friend, rubbing a crucifix, let me tell you, let me go farther than that. He was more than the dying, buried Savior. He's the living, resurrected Savior. Dear friend, observing a Passover, let me point to the one who is your Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Dear friend, praying for someone whom you think is in purgatory and having a wake of prayer, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ on the cross purged your sins. He is your purgatory. And your purgatory was taking place at Calvary. And your sins have been purged. I'm saying, man stood over here, told you about it recently, a Jewish man on an early morning Easter service years ago. And I told about the Jewish sacrifice, and I said the trouble is that the Jews today do not have a sacrifice when they have their Passover. I said, where is your lamb? Where is his blood? Where is your sacrifice? And I said, I'm more Jew than you are because I have a sacrifice in Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the one only acceptable by God Almighty. Now, let's make this practical and personal for a few minutes. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy, I've come to fulfill. I've not come to tear down the Old Testament, I've come to give you a new. I've not come to tear down the sacrifice system, I've come to fulfill the sacrifice system. When John the Baptist pointed to me, he did not say, behold the King that rules the world. He did not say, behold the Lord that governs the world. He said, behold the Lamb of God. In that very statement, there's the fulfilling of the Old Testament. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. Now let's make it practical and personal. It is never right to destroy people. Never. Destroy error, yes, and you'll hear me do that often. Destroy heresy, yes, but it's never right to try to destroy people. Take what is good and build on it. Look, if you have some dandelions growing on your nice grass in your nice yard, you don't plow up the yard because you got dandelions there. What do you fellows do? You know what you do. Tell your wife to go out and dig them up. But I'm saying, you don't plow up the field. I didn't plow up the field because the Christian fellows had long hair. They heard me preach against long hair every night. But they didn't hear me say anything unkind to them because I wasn't there to destroy but to fulfill. I didn't tell Mr. Hill down here, 249, Douglas, and don't hold me to that address, I'm pretty sure that's right, didn't tell him, why, it's heresy! You can't get saved when you're out, little baby! Somebody sold you away. Now, I'll tell that in preaching. When I come to an individual, I've not come to destroy, I've come to fulfill. Many a person's been destroyed by impatient parents. Many a teenage child who's not, a teenager, adolescent who's not yet reached perfection has been destroyed by parents who demanded adulthood from a teenager. Many a teenager has given up hope and gone to despair because we expect too much. And I'm not, you know what I think about the way teenagers ought to live, but I'm saying that, look, take that little restless boy. Well, I remember when I was in grade school, I was the most restless kid in the school. I'll tell you, I could not sit still. And we had a teacher named Mrs. Toblosky. Can you imagine that in Texas? Later on, we outlawed everybody with that name in Texas. But back, Miss Toblosky. And I couldn't sit still. And I was always getting out of line. We lined up out after a play period. Miss Toblosky came one day and said, Jack, you've got a lot of energy. I want to make you captain. I said, captain of what? She said, captain of the play period line. I said, me?
Captain. She put a little thing right there on my, little piece of tin right there on my shoulder, said patrol. Had a little piece of leather going through it, and it tied underneath there, and I had patrol. See, she knew I was going to be out of line anyhow, so she put me outside the line to keep everybody else in line. I wouldn't be the wonderful person I am today if it hadn't been for that. I'm saying this. She came not to destroy. She came to fulfill. Now, she destroyed me many times, but that day. Now, Mama destroyed me when I got home. My Mama did not come to fulfill. Mama came to destroy. All of nature is built on this principle. All of nature is built on this principle. Taking that which is good, which has not died, which is left, and building on it. Many a child has been destroyed by an impatient teacher who needs to learn the truth I'm preaching this morning. Many a teacher has been destroyed by an impatient parent who holds the truth I'm teaching this morning up before them tomorrow morning. Many a coach, many a leader has destroyed many a person because they've never yet learned that to be Christ-like is not to destroy but to fulfill. Let me illustrate. When I was a kid, preacher, college, we had a teacher there. I can still remember her name. Her name was Miss Miller. She taught history, I think. Worst teacher in school. Oh, she was worse. I mean, she's worse than Laurent. She was terrible. But she was something else. She couldn't teach at all, but she gave the hardest test. First test she gave that semester, 45 students took it and 7 passed it. And they made C's. I was one of the ones that made C's. Nobody made an A, nobody made an E. 7 C's and 38 F's. Well, those kids are paying their tuition. I knew she didn't teach anything. She said, "I'm ashamed of this class." And I said, "Miss Miller." She said, "Mr. Hiles," I said, "you know that a test is not only often a test of the pupil's ability to learn, but it's often a test of the teacher's ability to teach." Ooh. I'm telling you, I was a maverick. I was that way when I was a young preacher. I was a maverick. Mrs. Rice here this morning. Dr. John met me when I was a youngster. He saw something in me. He put up with many a mistake I made across this country. Old Dr. John saw something good in me. He put up with many a unnecessary tirade. But Dr. John came not to destroy but to fulfill. And as my teachers did in college, they could have destroyed me. They could have said, "Mr. Hiles, you..." But they didn't do that. I didn't break the rules. But I was a maverick. But they saw something in me. And they did not destroy me. They took that they saw in me, and they fulfilled it and built on it. And I thank God forever they did. And I'll thank God forever for my good friend, Dr. John Rice, who picked me up when I was in my late 20s and put me on platforms across this country and preaching with the great preachers 30 and 40 years older than I when I wasn't ready to do it. And I bet Dr. John knew it, but Dr. John knew that someday he'd be gone and someday some preacher needed to carry on something about what he's done and keep on preaching the doctrines of prayer and the Holy Spirit and the things and soul winning that he had lifted high. Oh, Dr. John, many times I've made mistakes, and the old man could have destroyed me, but he didn't. I come today on behalf of us imperfect people and ask you folks who are mature, don't destroy us, fulfill. I come this morning on behalf of those that are not what you think they should be, and I plead with you, don't destroy, but fulfill. Young preachers at the college, some of you folks are going to destroy them. Don't destroy them. I can relate to them. I understand. I've been there. I understand. And I know sometimes there's some things about them that are distasteful. But listen, down inside, that overly zealous fella who sometimes gets on his horse and rides off in all directions, there's something worth building on. Don't destroy him. Fulfill.
fulfill him.
Young people at high school, sure they disappoint us. But I want to make this very plain this morning. Greatest college on the face of this earth, and the college turning out more great preachers, young preachers on the face of this earth, is out in Crown Point, Indiana. And I want to make this plain too this morning. The greatest group of teenagers in America are out at Hammond Baptist High School. I'll guarantee you that. Oh, yes, you're here. But if you saw the rest of the teenagers in America, I'm saying, boy, I rebel when anybody stoops so low as to cast reflection on our teenagers. But they're not perfect, but they're the best in the world, I guarantee you. Young Christians in the church who are not what they ought to be yet, don't destroy them. Let's find what they have that's good. Let's build on it. People have disappointed us. People that don't do exactly what we think they ought to do. Let's don't chop them down. Let's find the good that's left. And let's fulfill it and build on it. Don't destroy what's left. Build on it. Let me say this in closing this morning. I'm committed and have been for 26 years. I'm committed to preach what I believe from behind this pulpit. You like it or not, I'll preach it. But I'm also committed taking every person in this building this morning who disappoints me and doesn't always do what I think he ought to do, I'm committed to taking what's left with the grace of God and not destroying what's left, but building on what's left. For my Savior came to an imperfect religion, to an imperfect world. He came and he said, I'm not come to destroy, but I'm come to fulfill. Our Heavenly Father,